Well, in our final time together in God's Word in 2019, we're going to look at the idea of wants versus needs. And even that last song that we sang is one of my favorites. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. My problem is I don't always keep my mind stayed upon Jehovah, and my mind and heart tend to wander. As you're thinking about moving and heading into 2020, and basically, folks, that's going to happen whether you like it or not, unless Jesus comes in the next couple of days, which would be great. But I'm just saying, most likely, we're going to enter into 2020. And as we head into 2020, I began to think about just my own heart and my mind and considering a biblical perspective as it relates to wants versus needs. Because I think that's a struggle that we all have, and I think that our journey in 2020 will be greatly impacted based on how we understand our wants versus our needs. And we need to kind of have a biblical perspective. And I know that I have certain things in my life that I want to play out in the days and weeks and months ahead. There's different things that I want to play out just for my family and different things. And I don't know how they're going to play out, but I know how I want them to. But I'm not sure that God needs them to. And those things are a challenge. And I think that we have come in with this idea that we know, or we think we know, the difference between wants and needs. But do we really know how the Bible and how God treats these different terms? Because there's a difference between what we think we know what it means and how God treats it and how the Bible treats it. And I'm concerned because if we approach these two terms strictly from an earthly perspective, we will miss out on what God has intended for us, as it relates to both our wants, but more importantly, our needs. So we can't just approach it from an earthly perspective. We need to get a biblical perspective, and it will greatly impact your 2020 if you take what we talk about today and try to implement it into your life. I thought it'd be best to start off with some simple definitions. You ready? I'm still seeing some holiday fog out there. You with me? All right, so here we go, some simple definitions. A want is something we desire to have, while a need is something necessary to survive. A want is something we desire to have, while a need is something necessary to survive. So a want, doesn't mean that wants are bad in and of themselves, but they're something that we desire, and a need is really something necessary to survive. Here's another way to put it. Wants are matters of preference. Needs are essential to our well-being. With all the people that are in this room, we could just go down through each pew if we wanted to and have people start listing off their wants. Some of them would be the same, but often there'd be a lot of differences because we have different preferences as it relates to wants. But basically, we will see that our needs are pretty kind of short-listed, so to speak, and they're essential to our well-being. Here's another difference between wants and needs you might want to think about. Wants tend to be an ever-growing list that can get way out of control. Wants tend to be an ever-growing list that tend to get way out of control. So think about it this way. In 2020, we might be asking ourselves or making these statements. And I put them in your bulletin already, and they'll be on the screen. In 2020, you fill in the blank. I just want this. And it could be something tangible, or I can't live without this. That would be in the want category. Or in 2020, if only I had this. And again, a lot of you would fill in those blanks quite differently, different preferences that you would have, but that's kind of the want area. Now, conversely, when it comes to our needs are pretty limited in scope and number. It's really a pretty short list when viewed properly. So I want us to start off understanding the difference between wants and needs just kind of, you know, in a generic way. But as we move into thinking about it from a biblical perspective, I want you to turn your thinking just a little bit and think about it this way. There are some significant dangers associated with what I call term confusion. T-E-R-M, confusion. That means when we confuse our wants and our needs, or we rename our wants as needs. When we have term confusion, there are some dangers associated with this that will impact us. So let me just give you an example or some examples of some of the dangers associated with term confusion. And as parents, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen that with your kids a lot as you raise them. But here's the first danger. When we misuse the term need, it often results in financial, relational, emotional, and spiritual harm. Even in the lives of Christians, when we misuse the term need, it often results in financial, relational, emotional, and spiritual harm. Example, I want this phone. I need this phone. I will go into debt to get this phone. I want this particular item. I need this item. So I will buy something that I can't afford to impress people that don't really care about me. And we do that because we now have confused the terms. We want, and we make it what we think is a need. And it can harm us financially. It can also harm us relationally. I know that we all have a desire to have friends and people in our lives, and that's wonderful. But sometimes Christians can get caught up in this and have term confusion. I want to be married, or I need to be married. Or I want to have a boyfriend or girlfriend, or I need to have a boyfriend or girlfriend, or I want more friends, or I need more friends. But when we confuse those, guess what? Sometimes we make really bad relational choices. Sometimes we sacrifice integrity and morality and other things because we have taken a want and turned it into what we think is a need, and it can be harmful. You following me? There's also emotional harm that can come. I just want to be happy. I need to be happy. You don't understand. I need to be happy. Well, you're going to have a hard time finding in the Bible where that's identified as a need. I understand you want to be happy, but when you confuse those terms, guess what? It leads to emotional instability. I want to be pain-free. I need to be pain-free. But what happens if you're not pain-free? Then harm comes. And sometimes people begin to drift away from God, even emotionally, because they've taken a want and turned it into a need. And then even spiritual harm. God, I want you to bless me this way. No. Wait, let me rephrase that, God. I need you to do this. I don't only just want you, I need you to do this. But what happens when he doesn't? We have established and created a low view of God. And that's harmful. So one of the dangers would be to misuse the term need because it results in harmful things. Number two, too often our list of wants becomes expectations and demands we place on God. We are good at this. We can be good at this, and it's not something to be good at, by the way. We can feel entitled before God. And when we feel entitled, we turn a want or a demand, or excuse me, a desire into a demand, an expectation of God. And that's a dangerous thing. And because when we feel entitled or we feel like we have a right to something, then we begin to demand it of God. And what happens is we can come right out and say, God, you have to do this, or I expect you to do this because this is a need, because we've created it that way. Or what happens is we can do this. We begin to bargain with God. God, I really need this, so if you do this, I'll do this. And then after I do this, you'll do this, right? And when you do this, I'll do that, and then you do that, and I'll do this. Wow. And a lot of times, if you really boil it down, what all that conversation is related to is you have confused your wants with your needs. And it's very dangerous. And now you and I, what we do is we bring God down to our level. It shouldn't work that way. So we have to be careful that our list of wants don't become expectations and demands that we place on God. And folks, I've heard, and ministry, being in ministry for a long time, I've heard people do these kind of things. One example that always comes to my mind happened many, many years ago, not related to this church at all, but many, many years ago, I remember I was doing some marriage counseling. And the couple came in, and it was very obvious that they were in a lot of trouble. The wife was very discouraged, and she was very angry. I could tell that because of the about 10 pages of handwritten front and back grievances against the husband that she brought in. That's just like, that was pretty obvious. But came in and began to talk, and I could sense she was really angry. But I also could sense, both verbally and with body language, that the husband was willing to work at it and to make some changes. But right at the beginning, she said in our session, God wants me to be happy. I'm not happy with him. I want out because God wants me to be happy. He has given me that right to be happy, and I'm not happy right now. I want out. And I, in my counseling care moment, said to her, I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to need you to help me find the verse in the Bible where it says God wants you to be happy over God wanting you to honor your commitment in your marriage and to work at it, especially since your husband wants to work at it. She didn't like that response. But what happened was she said, I'm placing this want and turning it into a need and placing it as a demand on God. And she walked out and left her marriage. Now, I don't know how it would have worked out, you know, in the future, but he was devastated because he really sincerely wanted to try. And she said, nope. She literally said this, it is God's will for me to be happy. Here's another danger associated with confusing wants and needs. Confusing wants with needs leads to unhealthy worry. Unhealthy worry, because we think all these things that are really wants are needs in our lives, and when we don't have them, we start worrying. Start worry. And it's unhealthy for us. And then one final kind of danger that could be associated with this is confusing wants with needs can make us ungrateful. If you want to know the difference between wants and needs in a very tangible way, go on a missions trip. And if you open your eyes and open your heart and open your ears, depending on the place that you go, you'll walk away understanding a little bit better the difference between wants and needs. And you'll walk away a little bit more grateful. And you'll come home and you'll be the grateful police. And if you go as a parent and you have kids, when you come back, they will not be happy when you come back. You don't need that. No. You want it. But you don't need it because I've seen it. You know, and you start telling stuff and they're like, oh, no, don't ever go on a missions trip again. But isn't it true? When we confuse our wants with our needs, the dangerous thing is we become ungrateful people. I want to be a person of gratitude in 2020, which means I can't confuse those things, wants and needs. So when it comes to wants versus needs, understanding the potential dangers is important. It's important. When we think about wants versus needs, understanding the dangers is important. But here's the next thing. We also need to understand what are God's obligations to us according to the Bible as it relates to our wants versus our needs. What does God have as far as obligations to us? Well, let me give you some statements, what I think are biblically based as it relates to God's obligations to us for our wants versus needs. First of all, according to the Bible, God is not compelled to meet our wants. He's not. You will not find that verse. You'll not find that principle. God is not compelled to meet our wants. Think of it this way. God is not a cosmic vending machine. Oh, please. It's stuck. Oh, I didn't want, oh, it's stale. What's going? No, God is not a cosmic vending machine. He's not. He is not compelled to meet our wants. Secondly, as it relates to God's obligations, faith in God will not get for you everything you may want, but it will get for you what God wants you to have. Now, some of you are filling that in and you're trying to look at it and think about it and process it, so I'll say it one more time. Faith in God will not get for you everything you may want, but it will get for you what God wants you to have. This is huge. This statement needs to be something that we keep in the back of our minds and in our hearts as we go through 2020. Some of you need to memorize this statement or write it down on a 3x5 card and make sure you have it handy when you're watching some of the people on TV preaching. Because unfortunately, on TV sometimes you have people preaching this philosophy that's not biblical. You name it and then you claim it. That is not biblical. Because faith is not intended to be some kind of force where we create our own reality to get what we want. That is not what faith in God means. What happens when we kind of name it and claim it, we've redefined faith as trust in a holy God to be a way of controlling God to give us what we want. That is not biblical. Faith becomes a force where we can get what we want rather than an abiding trust in God, even in times of trials and suffering. And that's not how God works. Now, do I believe that we can call upon God and ask Him to fulfill His promises? Absolutely. But just because I name it and I try to claim it doesn't mean God's going to give it to me or He's obligated to give it to me, because it may not be a true need. Often it's a want. We have to be careful. And I need to trust that faith in God is that He's going to come through in the things that I really need. That's His obligation. And then one more statement as it relates to God's obligation. Again, this is one where you kind of maybe have to think about it a little bit, but that's okay. It's okay to think, right, in the holiday fog. God loves you too much to always give you what you want. And He loves you so much that He always give you what you need. Anybody getting that? God loves you too much to give you what you want, to always give you what you want. And He loves you so much that He will always give you what you need. We try to do that as parents, grandparents. We don't always get it right. We don't always get it right. But you and I spiritually have a good, good Father. He always gets it right. He loves you too much, and He loves you so much. That's His obligation to us, folks. So, confusing wants versus needs can be harmful. God has certain obligations regarding our wants and needs. But there's one final thing that we're going to go through together. We'll hit these pretty quickly, but they're important to keep in mind. Here's the final thing that we really need to be thinking about. What do we really need according to the Bible? What do we really need according to the Bible? That's the question on the table. What do we really need? Now, in the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament, the only concrete needs that are identified as real needs in the Bible are food, water, and clothing. Those are the only three concrete needs that are identified in the Bible, Matthew chapter 6 and other places. But there are some other needs that are identified, and the great news is these needs run even deeper. They come from the inside out. These needs will be things that will have the greatest impact on our lives in 2020. Now, do I want you to have enough food and water and clothing for 2020? I do. And in the United States of America, that's typically not an issue, and even in church settings, because we try to take care of people. I want you to have those needs met, but I think that you're pretty good. But the ones that we're going to talk about in the next few moments are things that sometimes we don't give enough attention to, and these are the things we really need. Really, really, really need. So as you think about some of the things we struggle with, the wants that we kind of morph into needs, these things here that we're going to identify are things I believe we really, really, really need according to the Bible. Before I start the list, I wanted to give you one more mind-twisting kind of statement. Okay, I don't know why I'm doing this to you, because I can tell some of you are like, whoa, it's like a still got eggnog in my system. Okay. Here it is. We need to want what we need, not need what we want. And I can tell right now, I'm looking, somebody going, can I talk to the person next to me? I need to phone a friend. I'm not getting this. Listen, we need to want what we need, not need, what we want. So let me clarify that for you by giving you some things that I think biblically we need. Number one, we need redemption. Amen? We need redemption. Everyone in this room needs redemption. You have different list of wants. I get it. But every person in this room, young and old, men and women, need redemption. Take your Bibles with me and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. The Pew Bible numbers are listed in your insert. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, we need redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 is an awesome chapter about what we receive when we come to faith in Christ. There's a list of a number of things that identify us as a child of God. It's our identity in Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul writes this, "In Him, the Him is Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and according to the riches of God's grace." We need to be redeemed from our sins. That's what we need. We need forgiveness. We need Christ's redemption through the riches of God's grace. So, I'm not trying to make this, you know, kind of flippant at all, but I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of things, the model phone I have or the year car I drive, I know those things are kind of important, but in the grand scheme of things, my 20-year-old car doesn't compare to the fact that I've been redeemed. And it runs. And I pull up to soccer practice every day in that car, and several times during soccer season, kids would say to me, "Wow, your car looks like it's 20 years old." I go, "Wow, you're right." "Why, coach?" "Well, it still runs. And it smells like a sock." Because all these soccer balls, I mean, I'm like, let's just keep it going until it just disintegrates from the inside out. Coach, it doesn't bother you? No. You know why? I'm redeemed. I need redemption. Let me read for you one other verse. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all" what? "Wickedness." Just say it to yourself so you don't offend other people. "I'm wicked." Oh, you're supposed to say that to yourself. We're sinners, right? We are wicked before God. So what do we need? New phones, new cars, new stuff? Do we need be happy? No, we need redemption. And if you have it, praise God, you walk out. I'm entering 2020 with the number one thing I need, and that is redemption. And if you're sitting here and you've never partaken of the redemption of Jesus Christ, that is what you need. Number one. Number one. That's your greatest need. And we'd love to talk to you about it. Number two, what's another thing that we need? We need God's grace daily. We need God's grace daily. Not just on Sundays or Tuesdays or every Friday. We don't just need God's grace when we have the grandkids or when it's going to be a tough day at work or when we have a hard test or when there's downsizing at the company. We need God's grace every single day. Turn with me to Lamentations. I know you wanted to go there this morning. Lamentations. Find Jeremiah and it's close by because Lamentations is just an extension of Jeremiah. Old Testament, Book of Lamentations. Page 572, I think it's in your pew Bible. Lamentations chapter 3, some very familiar verses. We base a very popular hymn on these verses, but it relates to the need that we have. Lamentations chapter 3, starting verse 22. I'll just wait for you to get there. I hear you. I hear you getting there, and I don't want to discourage you. Keep going. Find it. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him." You know what Jeremiah is saying? I need God's grace every single day. That's what I need. Do I? I'm just going to say it. I don't know if it'll make any sense or not. Do I need to be happy every day? No. But do I need God's grace every day? Yes. Do I need to be pain-free tomorrow? Not necessarily. But do I need God's grace? Yes. Do I need to have more money in my bank account tomorrow? Not necessarily. But do I need God's grace? Yes. And if we live that way, we will live differently. Because we need these things. I don't just want God's grace. I need it every single day. Tomorrow, Tuesday, next Saturday, the wedding. Probably a couple days leading up to it, too. I'm just saying. We've got a few details we're still working out. Yeah, okay. All right, we need God's grace every day. That's what we need. Number three, we need to seek God's agenda. That's another thing we need. Now, this isn't a want, this is a need. We need to seek God's agenda. Matthew 6:33, I'll read it for you. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And in the context of that, it's talking about food, clothing, and water. But the idea is, overall, seek God's agenda. That's what we need to do every single day. Because if I seek God's agenda, the difference between wants and needs will become much more clear. Yes? If I seek not my will, but your will be done. If I do that, those terms tend to be less confused. Seek God's agenda. Number four, we need to seek God's face in prayer. We need to do this. This isn't a want. This is a need. Oh, but Pastor Jay, you don't understand. I need to have more friends. Well, listen, I don't know if you're going to get more friends. I need to find someone to marry. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't. But I do know this. We need to seek God's face in prayer. And when you seek God's face in prayer, you know what you could be praying about? Friends. Marriage. God, show it to me. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 86. It's on the screen behind me. Hear me, Lord, and answer me. Why? For I am poor and needy. I need to seek God's face in prayer. And so do you. That's what I need. I just need a little more peace and quiet. No, you want it. What I need is to seek God daily in prayer. That's what I need. That's what you need. Number five, we need to spend time listening to Jesus. We need to spend time listening to Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 in your Bibles, the Gospel of Luke. We need to spend time listening to Jesus. Luke chapter 10, context, Jesus is at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Apparently a bunch of people are there. They're having a meal. They're entertaining people, and so they're getting things ready. And some of you know the story. You've got Mary and Martha. Martha is the kind of the organizer, planner, in the kitchen person, getting everything ready. And Jesus is out in the other room with the guest, and things are kind of going full steam, so to speak. But Mary's nowhere to be found in the kitchen. She's out there with Jesus, and this ticks Martha off. Like, hey, what's she doing? I can almost hear Martha saying, Mary needs to be in the kitchen. Yes? Look at what Jesus says, starting in verse 41. Martha, Martha. You know when Jesus says your name twice, you're in trouble. Maybe even threw her a middle name and we don't know. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Look at it. Or indeed, only one thing. Other translations say, indeed, only one thing is needed. What's the one thing that is needed? Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The one thing that was needed was time with Jesus at that moment. And listen, I'm here to tell you, I don't relate real well to that story because I'm a Martha. I just am. Hey, Mary, we got tables to take down. What are you doing? I'm spending time with Jesus. Listen, you can spend time with Jesus after we take the tables down. But Jesus steps in and says, no, here's the one thing that's needed. Spend time with me. There is so much that's going to grab at your life in 2020. Don't forget to spend time with Jesus. What does that look like? Spend time in his word. Spend time in worship. Spend time in church. All different things can be a part of that. But that's what we need. Do we need to be busier in 2020? Anybody here need to be busier? Because if you do, we want your name, we want your contact information, and we will give you stuff. I rarely meet people who go, you know, I'm super bored. My life is, there's nothing going on. I really need more things. Most people, you ask them how they're doing, what's the typical response after they say they're fine? People say they're, oh, busy, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I can't, right? It's just a natural response. Next time someone asks you how you're doing, I want you to respond this way. Say, listen, I'm doing fine, but I'm completely bored. I'm just so bored. I want you to see if they're even listening to you. Like, they won't know what to do with that. They know what to do with busy. They don't know what to do with bored. So I'm not asking you to do more things to be busier. But one of the things we need to do in 2020 is spend time listening to Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Number six. We also need to trust God's response to our perceived needs. Now, in your notes, in your insert, I made an executive change this morning as I was reviewing my notes because I didn't like the word I had. Yours says perceived wants, correct? Could you cross that out and put needs in for me? I need you to do that. I really do. Because to me, when I was reading it, this makes more sense. We need to trust God's response to our perceived needs. The things that we kind of morph from wants to needs, we need to trust God that he knows what he's doing. When those things aren't met, in that video at the beginning, there's some real struggles there where we cry out to God for things, and sometimes he says, wait. Sometimes he says, yes. Sometimes he says, no. And sometimes he says, that's not really a need. So we need to trust God. I love what it says in Psalm 84 and verse 1. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Be careful, though. No good thing does he withhold is related to God's definition, not ours. God's definition. So can I trust God for his response to my perceived needs? Yes. Because he's a good and faithful God. But I'm going to let him decide what those are. And then in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, and my God will supply all my, or your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And those needs in Philippians 4 are related to things like food and clothing. But it's also related to the riches of glory in Christ, which means it's spiritual as well. Do I trust God for my emotional needs and wants? Do I trust God for my financial wants and needs? Yes. Well, I trust him in that. I need to trust him. Because when I don't, I go off and I'm headed in the wrong direction. Last one, number seven. Do this for me if you would. We need to let God define who he is, not what we expect him to be. Let God define who he is, according to the Bible, not what we expect him to be. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6, the prophet says this, no one is like you, Lord. You are, what does it say? Great. And your name is mighty in power. I will do a better job at not confusing my wants and needs if I let God define who he is, not who I expect him to be. Christians, we get in trouble when we start defining God the way we want to define him. We put him in a box, or we say, this God has to do this or be this for me, and we take away, and again, we create this low view of God, and it really blurs those terms. Let God define who he is. Because is he great? Is he great? Is he mighty? Is he sovereign? Is he just? Is he wise? Yes, he's all those things that we are not to the complete degree. So, I'll let him define that. Wants versus needs. 2020, let's take what we've learned today and try to apply it as we approach. Listen, I know that you all have goals and dreams and plans for 2020. Many of you will face challenges in 2020. I don't even know what they will be, but we all will face challenges in one way or another. And in order for us to not only just survive, but also thrive, we need to know the difference between wants and needs, how God is obligated, and the things that we really need. And then we will find the things that are essential as it relates to finances and emotions and relationships and even spiritually. I want to end with one more challenging statement to completely get rid of the holiday fog. Here it is. We sometimes ruin what we already have by searching for something we think we need. Keep that in mind as you approach 2020. I'm going to pray. The worship team's going to come up and we're going to close with a song together. God, thank you for the clarity of your word. The fact that you make it clear to us the things that we truly, truly need. The fact that you are a good father who wants to really meet those needs and wants in our lives. But God, we also have recognized that these terms can get awful blurry. So help us to run to your word, trust who you are, let you define who you are, and then live our lives in 2020 in a way that we go after those things that you have identified as needs in our lives. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.